Time now to track down Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors. He's brought to you by Auto Fix and Ottertail. Find out more at autofixrepairs.com. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, you guys. I'm back trolling as we speak right now. It's kind of a little windy out here, but no rain in sight, decent temperature, so it's good to be out here.
Absolutely, and it looks like the weekend's going to be nice for those looking to get out and do some fishing.
Yeah, it does. Finally, we have a couple of consistent days in a row, which is good. Water temperatures are perfect, 74 degrees, so I'm out checking a little bit of everything, some shallow, some deep, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, nice overcast, too. I really like overcast. That's always a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Is it kind of getting in the next couple of weeks here kind of like more of a lull in the fishing season? Does it kind of slow down a little bit maybe the end of August and September or not?
Oh, yeah. You know, August is the toughest month of the year, and that's why we start, you know, thinking about hunting seasons and all the stuff that's coming up. And, yeah, take a little respite, I think, for a while, and then dove hunting starts here in about 10 days, which is next on my menu. And really looking forward to that. I'm going to be out on the North Dakota-South Dakota border kind of checking for grain and looking for wheat fields and oat fields, which is pretty difficult. There's just not a lot of grain these days. It's mostly corn and beans, and if you can score a good grain field, there will be doves. And knock on a few doors, talk to some people, see what's going on, and do a little scouting, which is really important with doves. You want to spend that first day scouting and trying to find some fields and getting permission, and that's really what it's all about. And it opens on Tuesday, September 1, so I doubt there's going to be a whole lot of participation probably until the weekend.
Sure.
But, yeah, looking forward to the change, to grab the old scatter gun and get out of the boat for a change. I'm looking forward to it.
I just said to James, he walked out of the studio, now I'm like, have you ever been dove hunting? And he said, no. And I said, boy, that's got to be pretty hard. You've got to be pretty precise because doves are not that big. And don't they fly kind of fast and kind of sweeping motion when they take off?
You know, Bonnie, that is probably the toughest bird on the wing to drop because they're so fast. They're dipping and diving all the time, and they'll fly up to 55 miles an hour. And, you know, I hunt with people that have never done it before, and it takes a long time to get the feel of the lead. You know, they think that they lead a dove like you do with a duck or a pheasant, but that's not the case. You've got to lead them about 3 feet because they're so fast. And it takes a real adjustment. And once you kind of get the hang of it, then you start connecting. But it takes a while to really get the feel because they're so small and they're so fast that you really got to be on your game. So it's not easy. It just takes some, you know, time in the field to really learn what dove hunting is all about.
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe if you're not successful that first season, hopefully you're learning things and picking up, and then maybe the next season rolls around and you have better success.
You know, what's kind of cool about doves is they enter these grain fields in a certain way. It's kind of like walleyes on a piece of structure. They come in from a certain direction and they leave in a certain direction, like a little corner. And sometimes you have to move. You put your decoys out and you start looking at what their flight patterns are. And sometimes you have to move. You got to pick up the decoys and get over to the corner that they're entering or where they're leaving. And it's a little bit of work. You got to hop around a little bit. I have a 5-gallon pail. I put my shells in there, some water and bug spray, and have a little vest. And I just kind of get out there and do a little walking around and find out, you know, where the hot spot is, because they always have a tendency to come in and exit from the same area. So looking forward to that. It's always kind of a mystery, you know, when you go out dove hunting. You just never know sometimes. But if you scout it the first day and see birds coming in and out, they'll be there the next day. And doves will leave. That's the issue with doves. They're early migrants. And if we get a couple of cold nights, man, they are gone in 24 hours. And so we have a small window, you know, to get at them while we still have warm temperatures and they're still around. So, but it's such a prolific bird. I mean, down south in Texas, Mexico, that is one of the biggest hunting seasons of the year. It's a big social thing down there. And, you know, a lot of the doves migrate down there at this time of the year. So they have some tremendous hunting down there. But up here, you know, we have some shooting. It's not like it is down there, but I just enjoy it so much. It is so fun. And if you can get 2-3 weeks out of it, you're doing well.
Well, yeah, that's what the DNR says. The first 2 or 3 weeks of September before the cool weather, like you mentioned, is the best time. I know the season runs through November, but first couple weeks, generally the best success. Now, are you looking for fields where, say, the corn or wheat has already been harvested, so it's a stubble field, or you want that corn up because that's what they're using for cover?
Well, there's a couple of ways to go at it, Bonnie. You can walk the edge of cornfields, and they sit in those fields during the day because it's shaded cover, and you can walk on the edge, and, you know, you can kick them out of the corn as they come flying out, which is one technique. Otherwise, you won't get on a wheat field or an oat field that's been harvested, so when you drop these doves, you can actually find them. But, yeah, it's just a lot of work to find these grain fields, and I talk to farmers about it all the time, and I say, why don't you guys have more grain out here? And they said, well, the minute we put the grain in the field, we start losing money. And they all tell me the same thing. So they're out there. You just have to find them. And once you do, they're just a magnet because there's not a lot of options for grain. And if you find a good field, they'll be there.
So do your homework ahead of time before we head into the season opening up on September 1st.
Yep, and, you know, South Dakota and North Dakota people are so nice. They're so kind, and you go up and knock on the door and ask them if you could hunt doves, and they often say, we don't even know there's a dove season, and they're very nice about it. You know, they're a little protective on their pheasants and their deer, which I understand, but doves, it's pretty easy to get on for doves, but I just enjoy that. That's just really going to be fun, and, you know, we got all kinds of other seasons coming up. We've got early teal season, which I hate. We got the early goose thing coming, so there's a lot of stuff happening, and people will be starting to, you know, bait for bear pretty quick, and it's just a great time of the year. There's so much going on, and by the time we get situated with those early seasons, then the fall fishing starts, so it's just a great time of the year.
Sounds like you have enough to keep yourself busy.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot about, you know, getting your gear ready and, you know, getting things done in advance. You don't want to be scrambling at the last minute. And I've been out in the woods checking my deer stands already, and it's going to be a weird year because there are no acorns, which is hard to believe. Last year we had a banner year for acorns, and I think that's going to affect their movement a lot. And it looks like, you know, the standing corn is what they're hitting right now the most. They're just tearing the cornfields apart, probably because there's no acorns and not a lot of browse right now. So that's what I'm keying on, and moving a few ground blinds and trying to adjust, because the corn is where you want to be right now, especially while it's still up.
And what's your favorite way? I know in the past you've said you need multiple doves to make a meal because they are so small. What's your favorite way to prepare a morning dove?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew you were.
Hey, we're getting a recipe of some sorts out of you today.
Well, the best way is to put them on the grill, and I like a charcoal grill, and I marinate them in, like, teriyaki. Ooh. And then I'll, you know, pre-cook some thick sliced bacon about halfway. And I like a pepper bacon, and I wrap them in pepper bacon, put a couple of, water chestnuts in there are really good. And by pre-cooking the bacon, you know, the doves don't take that long. And maybe 5-6 minutes, you flip them a couple of times. Unbelievable. They're kind of a dark meat, white meat combination. And I don't know any better way to do it. You know, sometimes I'll broil them, put them under the broiler, doing it the same way, but you can't beat a charcoal grill.
Well,
it's just awesome.
That sounds delicious. That's what I was going to add. I was thinking maybe like pheasant, but clearly not. Like what closest to, like a partridge? What would it taste closest to, I guess?
I was going to say maybe a Hungarian partridge. It's pretty close, but it is very unique, and I can eat 7, 8, 9 at one time. But they can, I just pound them. But the one thing is like most game, you can really overcook them, and you really got to watch that last 5 minutes, because if you overcook them, they're not very good. They're just like duck or pheasant or anything else, so you want to make sure they're nice and pink in the middle. And, again, they really don't take very long. But I'll tell you, with some wild rice in there and a little bit of garlic. Oh man, it's the greatest.
That does sound delicious, and I've never thought of. My brother and dad are big hunters, but there wasn't for a number of years. I know they reinstated the morning dove season, but I don't ever recall them going hunting for morning doves. But I do see them, you know, up on the wires, the telephone pole wires up at my mom and dad's, and that's that beautiful coo. But like you said, they taste delicious, and we have a hunting season for them for a reason.
Well, you know, there's millions and millions of doves in North America. I mean, they're just super prolific. There's a lot of them. But again, the season is so short that, you know, we really don't take as many as we'd like because, again, they migrate so early. But, you know, just to look at some videos down in New Mexico and Texas and look at some of these gigantic flocks of doves that come through these fields, it's just thousands and thousands. So there's plenty of them out there, so we're not going to hurt them too bad. But I'll tell you, they're the best feeding on the planet as far as I'm concerned. I think they're better than ducks, better than pheasants, and way better than geese.
Are they?
I don't like geese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've my brother-in-law's. Yeah. And then he makes jerky and he dries it out too much. I've tried it and I didn't care for it. Are mourning doves related to pigeons?
That's a good question. I don't really know. And, you know, we put these spinning wing decoys out to attract these doves, and they'll come in and land in the decoys. And we also get pigeons that come in as well. I've never eaten a pigeon, but some people say they're just as good as any other game bird. But they're fun to come in because they're really dumb. And they'll come in four or five different times looking at the decoys, and they just get mesmerized by those spinning wings. And they're fun to watch. They're very acrobatic, but you can tell the difference. You know, they're four or five times the size of the doves. So you know when they come in. But maybe I'll try some this fall and see if they're edible. I highly doubt it, but I'll try it.
I think Grandmama Study used to trap pigeons and eat them. So that's the rest of us didn't, but she did. I guess I did a Google search. AI says, yes, mourning doves and pigeons belong to the exact same bird family, the Columbidae or something like that. So, yeah, they have that similar look to them, but you're right. The pigeon's quite a bit larger than the mourning dove.
Well, I'll try some on the table and let you know how it goes. I'm going to be very tentative, but I'll try it, and we'll see how it goes and see how they compare. You know, they eat the same stuff, so I would think, you know, with the grains that they all eat, it's probably about the same.
Well, and I think if you do that same recipe that you just talked about for the mourning doves, I think that would maybe make them taste more delicious if they weren't that good, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I'll find out, and I'll give you a report, because I'll try the first one and see if I can handle it.
All right, that sounds good. Well, good luck to you fishing this weekend. Enjoy the nice weather, Steve.
All right, I will do that. You guys have a great weekend.
You bet. Always fun chatting with him. Steve Carney, Steve Carney Outdoors.